We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined as always by fellow editor over at Mavs Moneyball, Josh Bowe. We are joining you at 11:35 on Tuesday, March 26th. The Dallas Mavericks just beat the pants off the Sacramento Kings, 132-96, in an absolutely massive statement win. Josh Bowe, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a little late, but second out of a back-to-back, but we are here for, I guess, what is probably the greatest win of the Mavericks season so far. What do you think?
It's certainly the most. I had a non-Mavericks friend reach out to me and basically say, wow, you're really celebrating this one. And I'm like, man, we've not been able to pull off one of these games that we being the Mavericks, the Mavericks have not been able to pull off one of these wins that would make a difference against a really quality opponent in a while. Now, I could be misspeaking. I'm not remembering any particular games, but this was a chance, a head-to-head chance to go and take the lead in the sixth seed. And the Mavericks went out and took it. And you know what? Yeah, they could fall back on Friday. But for right now, for two solid days, we're going to be able to enjoy this win, enjoy what it means. And you know, after the Kings had really kind of thumped the Mavericks in their two earlier season matchups, this one just feels good. It's if you can't enjoy regular season basketball for what it is, you know, every great now and again and wildly overreact to something, then what in the hell are you even doing here? This is fun.
Yeah. It was fantastic. There's plenty to talk about, but I mean, they basically did everything that they needed to do. Both teams on the second out of a back-to-back, Kings on a 5-7 nights, which I didn't even think were allowed anymore.
Right.
With the NBA, with the way the NBA,
the Mavericks have some of that stuff to close out the season because they get that second Warriors game that got postponed. There's some brutal. It happens. And sorry.
Yeah. I know. They took advantage of a team that clearly didn't have a lot left in the tank. I mean, we've seen plenty of instances where teams against tired teams don't win by 36 points. So you have to do something right. And apparently this is what it looks like when the new look Mavericks actually make three-pointers, which is they look like the greatest team in the history of basketball. They made 22 threes, which feels like more threes than they've made in like the last 2 weeks combined. I know that's not true, but I mean, man. Well,
So to wind it back a little bit,
yeah.
It's the man, you know, you created a flow chart several seasons ago. Like this is not, it goes back to like the middle of the 2021-22 season which the flow chart was essentially, are the Mavericks hitting their threes? If yes, they look like, you know, the greatest team of all time and they're going to win a title. If no, they look like a lottery team. And you hate to be that simplistic, but that really was the formula. They either hit threes or they lost. Like, that was it. And to see the Mavericks have this stretch of games, and it's 8 or 9 games where they were shooting under 33%. You were telling me it was like in the high 20s for some of these games, I think.
Yeah, they've been under 30%, I think, before tonight, and they're this little winning stretch.
Yes, yes. And it's really fun to see them go out and grind through some games. I mean, they've been scoring at the rim in a way where, you know, we experienced the Dirk mid-range era, which was, you know, the 2000s were just different basketball. You know, I'm sure there's some 80s people in here, but like 80s basketball, if you go watch 80s and 90s basketball, nobody's fucking moving around. I'm sorry. It's a completely different game than it was 25, 30, 40 years ago. And watching how these guys score right now in the paint at the rim, I mean, 18 dunks against Utah in the first game. They probably had at least 10 in the second game. It's really fun watching the Mavericks attack the rim. So there was going to be a game where the lid came off the basket and guys who aren't great at three-point shooting become three-point shooters, even if only for a night. And the fact that the Mavericks shot above 50% from three, if you're going to do that, most games you're going to and shoot at volume, because they took nearly of their 92 shots, 39 of them were threes. So it's like, if you're going to shoot 45% of your volume from distance and you're going to hit half your shots, you're going to be really hard to beat.
They actually, I think they shot better on threes than they did on twos today, right? Which is pretty outrageous when you consider how they've been playing lately. But yeah, they were due. PJ Washington, fourths. I mean, and it was basically the people that we were wondering, when are they going to have that game? Because Tim Hardaway Jr. and PJ Washington combined to go 8 of 12 from 3. And those were basically the two guys that have been really mired in this heavy slump since the All-Star break. Uh-huh. So they, and you know, nothing, you know, there's nothing really to analyze. Like, they've been getting the same shots they've been getting since the slump for them started. They made them. Like, just make your open shots. There's nothing more really to say. And they got them. But the cascade effect of the Mavericks making their threes is they just get to mollywop these teams, because they're still putting, you know, it's not like they didn't put pressure on the rim. Like, yeah, they made 22 threes and they still scored 44 points in the paint, which is a lot of points. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot, especially when you've seen the Mavericks score like 60 points in the paint lately. But 44 points in the paint when you take 39 threes is a lot. They were still 16 to 24 at the rim, which is pretty good. They gave it to him, man. I mean, they absolutely pounded this team into the ground. I think Lucas started the game with a good disposition. He definitely knew that this was a big primetime national team. Like, he had that look in his eye. Not that he hasn't been playing well otherwise, but you could tell there's national TV Luka sometimes feels different, and it felt a little different in the first half. I think what he had 26 in the first half, and then everything flowed from there. But you know, the offense was great. But for me, I mean, the story of this game and the story of this winning, you know, 9 of 10, it's the defense. And Sacramento in particular is a team that has challenged the Mavericks defensively, not just this season but prior Luka seasons. I mean, the Kings pretty much took the Mavericks to the woodshed in the two games they played. They were both before the trade deadline, but they still, you know, kind of dominated those games, especially with their scoring. And this team, the way the Kings play and their lineup present a lot of challenges, because they don't have a lot of easy outs on the offensive end. And Sabonis is great and does kind of the things that can give the Mavericks fits, but like, Lively and Gafford's length bothered Sabonis. Like, he did not look comfortable at all. And then, you know, the Mavericks kind of drop scheme held up. They gave up some corner threes. They gave up some open threes. Kings, I think, started the game 7 of 15 from three, and then the game kind of got out of hand. But the Mavericks, it feels like they're like, okay, you know, with the way we're playing, we're going to give up some threes. but we're not giving you anything else. And we're basically going to kick the shit out of you everywhere else on the floor. And yeah, that might mean we give up some open threes, but like, you're not scoring at the rim. You're not scoring in the paint. And we'll live with everything else. We're going to force turnovers. We're going to cause havoc. The Kings shot 8 of 16 at the rim. They shot 11 of 30 in the paint outside the rim. And when you consider, you know, the drop coverage kind of invites that floater range shot. I thought the Mavericks did a pretty good job with De'Aaron Fox and some of the other guards and making sure that those looks weren't as clean as possible. Kings did miss some shots that they should have made, but like, yeah. I think the Mavericks scheme is holding up after that really bad losing stretch. I think they've just tightened things up and really like Lively. Like, I think a really good thing to look at this game is look at what Lively did when he was on Sabonis compared to what he did those first two games. Like, it's like a night and day difference. And I think that uh-huh. goes to show like just the team getting better, Lively getting better.
You're talking Lively in the earlier Sabonis. Games against the Kings versus this game.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a nice night and day difference.
I said something to a friend of mine that wasn't watching the game and he reports back. I was like, Lively's a monster in this game. And he said back to me, well, he's got 4 points on 5 shots. What are you talking about? And his just largeness on defense yeah. was making an impact. Now, let's be crystal clear here. Sabonis can come back on Friday and just bury him because he's an all-star. I mean, he's going to be an all-NBA guy this year, I think Sabonis is. He has the longest streak of double-doubles in a bajillion years. Really talented player, great passer. I think the Mavericks limited his passing a lot this game, which I think was pretty helpful. You know, there's a lot of chat going on in our chat right now, like a lot of talk about this element of the game. But one of the things that I think is just so beneficial is, you know, obviously the game's being called different. We all know that now, but like the Mavericks yes. are really taking advantage of the physicality and it's, mm-hmm. it's allowing them to do some things that they were earlier getting away with. And they're built for it in a way that I mean, nobody knew that the game was going to be called different. Like it started happening basically February 1st on, but the Mavericks are really taking advantage of that physicality. Like, you know, the Jason Kidd's assistant coach ring that he got with the Los Angeles Lakers in the bubble, that Lakers team was fucking garbage. They beat the hell out of teams. They really did. I mean, it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust basketball and defense. You were not getting shots off. The Mavericks aren't doing that, but there's bumping going on everywhere. And it's good. You know, it's fun basketball because it doesn't feel dirty. It just feels intense. And there's a lot you can take away from that. And Lively is one of the key beneficiaries from that because he uses his body in really, really, really smart ways. He's never overly physical, but he's just enormous and he's in the right spot a lot. And that can make up for a lot. Like we saw enemy of the program, JaVale McGee out there on the floor in the final minutes. That was the fucking guy that the Mavericks opted to start last year. I just can't get over the difference in like what, you know, I'm really glad the Mavericks have turned around, but it's like, it was just such a stark reminder of where this team was like 18, 19 calendar months ago with what they thought heading into the 22-23 season. I'm really
pretty funny.
I'm on such a high from this game. I mean, it's I want to show everybody my ridiculous shirt and Josh, you get off your next point.
Okay. Yeah, I want to stay with Lively because while you were talking, two things kind of rang in my head. The free throw thing and the physicality of the game, like that's such a huge deal for this Mavericks team specifically because what's been their Achilles heels on defense for like the last 3 years, they give up a ton of free throws. Like they've been one of the worst free throw defense teams in a while. What I mean by that is basically like opponent free throw rate. It was awful last year because they would get blown by and they had no chance and they would just foul guys because they would get beat so bad off the dribble or, you know, at the rim. Now they're not getting called for as many ticky-tack fouls, so to speak. Lively, that especially helps a rookie. Lively had one foul in 22 minutes. You kidding? Like, yeah, he's obviously getting better, but like, I don't know if that changes that quickly. Like, you know, I don't know if the rookie wall can get scaled that quickly without some help with some of the rule changes. And, you know, I think the game is better. Like, I'm not trying to like shortchange what the Mavericks are doing. I think the game is better for it. And I like watching the game the way it's being called right now, but it's just helpful them because they've had trouble keeping opponents off the free throw line. So that's definitely a boon. And the other thing is the length. Like when we talked after the Jazz game last night, we talked about how the Mavericks did a pretty good job on Jokic in that win against Denver a couple weeks ago. And we were like, can they follow that blueprint against Sabonis, who is kind of like mini Jokic? Like they play very similar styles. And they kind of did. And they kind of did what they did to Jokic in that win. And really, like you think about it, like Jokic, his only time he's ever really struggled has been like Rudy, like in that Wolves series in the playoffs last season against Rudy Gobert. And it's like, what does Rudy Gobert have? He is freaking long and enormous. Like the only thing that could be considered Jokic kryptonite is just outrageous length. And what does Derek Lively have? Outrageous length. Like, I just think that he's got a better understanding of how to use that length. Like, because, you know, you don't just have length, because look at what Sabonis did to Lively in the first two games of the season. So, like, clearly there's more to it than that. But, like, that length, like, considering how good Lively is between the ears, from what we've heard, from what he talks about, like, from listening to interviews and from how the coaching staff regards him, like, you can't – there's a lot you can teach, and he's learned – he feels like he learned something new every game. You can't teach his wingspan. Like he has some natural gifts, God-given gifts that he's putting to good use, and he's learning every day, and he's getting better every game. That just you can't replicate. Like you just can't ask anyone else in this roster to do. And it's fun to watch now that he's kind of putting the physical pieces with, you know, just getting better and learning. And I think you saw that tonight.
You're absolutely right. All right, we're at about the halfway point of the show. Thank you for tuning in live, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching on the YouTube stream. If you could go ahead and give this particular live show a like, I would be very appreciative. If you haven't subscribed to our show yet, please do. Josh and I go live after every game, and as often as I can, I do a secondary live show. I didn't do one last night, so we're going to do one tonight. For anybody who would like to stick around and come up and talk a little basketball with me, please feel free to. It's a very easy show to join, and we like to have fun and talk a little ball. Those of you who are listening on the audio stream on Wednesday morning or late Tuesday night, or I guess by the time it's published, it is going to be Wednesday. Just feel free to leave us a review. Josh and I would appreciate that. And anybody else watching the YouTube at a later date, please leave us a comment. The live comment shows are always very funny, but the actual comment on the video after the fact is very helpful as well. Now I'm going to leave just a few seconds to insert some live ads, which if you could listen to those, you know, take the extra 30 seconds, Josh and I would appreciate it. That's one of the main ways that we actually make a little beer money off this. So we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so we've been gushing, and we're going to continue. when you win 132-96 and you look at the box score and see that every single Maverick that played finished with a positive plus minus,
even the garbage time lineup was awesome.
That's just, I mean, what do you do? It's so not great. Your
night, Sacramento.
just not your night, Sacramento. Is you're right about that. And there were even some of the stuff that kind of like bugged me, like Dante Exum getting his shit blocked at the rim so hard that you heard, who was it here? You heard, where is he? Which Kings player blocked him at the rim? Oh, Malik Monk.
Malik Monk.
Yeah. You heard Malik Monk just absolutely destroying him. And it was just, even the stuff that was bad ended up good. Like, it was just a comedy of errors for the Kings. Shout out to Master Fame. In the chat, he left us a tip. We're really appreciative of that. He says, THJ is so back, so is the three-point shot. Timmy drives me crazy, but I couldn't be happier that he was hitting some shots tonight. He also, Josh, did you see how many helpers Tim Hardaway had tonight?
He had six.
Tim Hardaway, six assists. New point guard?
He had and they were like, he had some pick and roll dimes. Like, they weren't just like him swing pass getting assists off jumpers. Like, he had a couple of pocket passes in the pick and roll.
Well, they're like, doing what the hell. And you know, the Mavericks are up to 11th in pace. Like, Matt Moore, HP Basketball, posted on Twitter the other day, like the points created thing the other day. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Prince Singh, another tip. Really appreciate that. That's fantastic. That was very kind of you. Matt Moore pointed out the points created, like, Luka's winning by such a laughable margin. It's like 13 more points created per game than the next guy. He's like at 60 points created a game. It's like something absolutely baffling. And I was just sort of thinking about that in the context of one of the things the Mavericks are doing more and more and more is after a rebound, Luka is advancing the ball to midcourt more and more again. Good God, Billy Coward with a massive tip. Bobby Chapman with a tip himself. Thank you, guys. You guys are making Josh and I's month. Really appreciate this.
Look, when I said we like business is good when the Mavericks are winning, I didn't.
This is what we mean.
Yeah,
everybody's happy. You know, it's very wait, man, guys. You guys are grateful. Anybody listening to the audio stream the next day is probably like, what are these guys talking about? Well, our live show listeners are tipping us money. It's very kind. We're you know, got a drunk tip. It's fantastic, Billy. I can't even remember what I was talking about. What was I babbling about?
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Timmy, are the assists?
Just the, you know, the way the ball's getting advanced to half court. And they're pressing in these, they're not necessarily numerically advantageous situations. Thank you to appearance, appear now or appear later for another tip as well. But Kyrie like took one like hilarious three in the first half that kind of made me yell at the TV because he missed it so badly. But the Mavericks are pressing in these situations where teams are not ready for it. And I think they were kind of really pressing their advantage going for the kill shot against the Kings, and it obviously worked out in their advantage. But this was one of those games where you sort of see all the elements coming together in a way that almost feels like cheating. I mean, the Mavericks aren't going to do this against the Kings on Friday, but the fact that we know that they have it in them to you know, play great defense while also scoring, it's nice, man. It's really nice.
It is really nice. And it's kind of like what we talked about when they beat Denver. Like, that third quarter run where Kyrie was just like, oh, I'm the best offensive player in basketball for the next 10 minutes and mm-hmm. went on that heater. Like, they've got two of those guys. And mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it was on the broadcast. This is not an original thought. I'm stealing this. I can't remember who said it. I think it was either the TNT commentator, or maybe he was relaying something that was said in a quote or something. But he was like, this isn't Luka and Kyrie aren't Batman and Robin. It's Superman and Batman.
Yeah,
and
I was
like, that's like the most accurate summation of this duo right now, offensively. What did you say? You know where it came from?
I know where it came from. It was from our follower. He's joined the show often, Jordan Enos, at Hoop Social Draft, tweeted that out about 3 weeks ago. And it went super viral. The tweet did. It was a really big, it was a really, I saw it like on all the Instagram accounts to the point to where it's been repeated on TV. And it's just, it's absolutely accurate. And,
yes.
You know, I tweeted during the game something, you know, a variation of it, which is like the Luka Kyrie bet over 48 minutes is that neither of them is going to get hot enough to break your game plan. That's what you're hoping for on when you're guarding those two. And it just, maybe somebody will figure something out. I mean, I actually asked this question of some of the people who've been watching the games more, like, why are teams continuing to like super blitz Luka? Like, what is going on? We thought the Mavericks offense had been solved as recently as 10 games ago when Luka is getting like, okay, Luka, you go score 50, like it's, you know, prime Amari Stoudemire, and we'll just make you tired. And now everybody's just blitzing him all the time. I don't get it.
Well, they didn't start out blitzing him. I mean, he scored 26 points in the first half. And I think they just kind of got fed up with it. And then Kyrie goes nuts. I think it just kind of goes downstream from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think teams, it's Klotsman one thing,
with a $20 tip. Good Lord. You guys are going to pay Josh and I's child daycare. Thanks guys.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It's what was I trying to say? I think it's one thing for us up here to be like, yeah, just let Luka score 80 points. And it's another thing for like professional NBA players and coaches to like want to stick with that like for an entire game when you're on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it. And it's regular season, so I we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I would bet a team in the playoffs might stick with that strategy for an entire game instead of abandoning it. But I mean, if Luka keeps scoring like he is, he's going to play these teams out of that, and they're going to be like, all right, well, that didn't work. Let's try something. Because the Mavericks had the lead in the first half, too. So it's not like Luka scored 26 and the Mavericks were down 13. Like, the Kings needed, you know, the Kings going to halftime, they're like, well, we're down. We need to mix something up. And then, you know, floodgates.
But they were blitzing Luka with two before half court.
Yeah, I know.
There were three times where he was met before half court. One of them was when he threw a pass to Maxi and Maxi just shit himself and threw it into like section 132, row L. Like,
like lost this game in an alternate universe, that would have been the first play you talked about when we
started. Just me and my homie Maxi with a 11 minutes, one steal, one turnover, plus two line. Absolutely magical, Maxi Kleber. Thank Christ you played basketball for us today. I'm just all over the place, man. You know, one of the things I think I want to highlight before we get out of here is just a real shout out to Kyrie Irving and just how Matthew in the chat keeps talking about this, to how great a shape Kyrie is in. Luka only had to play 32 minutes. I don't think he had to play any in the fourth quarter. He was able to get out. Yeah. And for those who don't know, he was basically a game time decision with a Achilles, and you don't fuck around with Achilles stuff like at all. And it's really quite incredible that he played and then played well. And then the other Mavericks were able to close, and Kyrie was part of that closing lineup that really, and it's just, you know, he's done the part of playing the co-star. And I really mean that. It's really fantastic. Quick shout out to Brian, to Colton, and to Joe Biden for some of the tips that are also rolling in here. You guys are absolutely cracking me up tonight. What are we thinking? Anything else before we get out of Dodge and I head on over to the live show? I'm just kind of exuberant at the moment.
No, I know, and I don't want to keep you up too late, and you haven't been able to do a live show in a while, so I know you're excited.
I was up with my baby at 4:45.
I know, yeah.
I have had more caffeine. Like, I could see God when I close my eyes. That's how tired I am.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I'm going to be very curious to see what happens Friday, because I think this game definitely did snowball. Not to say the Mavericks didn't earn every bit of this win. They did. No one freak out. But I'm just going to be curious to see, you know, because the Kings are not a bad team. Like, let's not forget, by the way, the Kings did not, like, scuttle into this game, by the way. They've probably been the second hottest team in the NBA besides the Mavericks. So, like, I know that they're tired, but they have played pretty well in the month of March. This was such a really good win. I'm just curious. You know, this is a good team. The Kings are not a bad team.
No.
I'm going to be curious what it looks like with 2 days off and they're at home again. So like they're not traveling. I know the Mavericks aren't traveling either, but they're sleeping in hotels. The Kings get this.
Well, I mean, you just like Luka on the road for 3 days, not having to take care of a baby. You can't
watch out for the reason Sacramento.
Sacramento is so like, I've been to Sacramento because I went to college out in California. That town downtown is boring. But if there's anything I can convince that I can bet the Mavericks will do, I wonder if they like head down to Sonoma. I'm very interested. Hey, shout out to Albert for another tip. Good gravy, you guys. This is more money than we made all of last month. man.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what the, because I this is probably the one thing the NBA has done with the regular season schedule stuff that I really like, is I like these little mini series, like, because it feels like a little playoff series, and that's
testy.
Oh, camera's off. Sorry, I'm coming back.
It's been off. I was going to see how long it took you.
Sorry. But yeah, it gets testy, and you get to actually see adjustments because you don't normally see a ton of adjustments in regular season basketball. Camera donation, so it just went off again. Sorry, everyone. But yeah, I'm just going to be curious to see what the Mavericks look like defensively on Friday. But like scheme wise, I mean, I might have some quibbles with the way that they kind of just give up open threes. But if you're a defense, you can't stop everything. Like there's no perfect defense. You have to give up something. And if they give up some occasional open threes and they're just going to rock fight you in the paint otherwise, and they're going to cause havoc and force turnovers, then yeah, I mean, I want to see them try to do that again on Friday. Because really, the Sabonis, Fox, dribble handoff, Fox floater game is theoretic, and with shooters all around him, is theoretically the counter to what the Mavericks are doing defensively. And the Mavericks smashed them. Like they just absolutely destroyed them. So I want to see what happens Friday. I want to see if they can do it again. And if they can, I mean, people, you can, I mean, start ordering championship banners or whatever, because you know, a no take would be too outrageous for me if they could convincingly win on Friday. So I'm excited to see what it looks like.
It's great stuff. Sorry, y'all, but Dallas people shouldn't talk shit about Sacramento. Look, I've lived in both places. Well, I didn't live in Sacramento, but I've been up in Sacramento. I compared to like Los Angeles, sure, whatever. But yeah. I, you know, it's.
I mean, I'm just like,
I was more commenting on it from the fact of like Luka being able to get in trouble wherever possible. Like, you know, it's one thing if he gets in trouble like on Beale Street in Memphis, but. it's like where are you gonna go to cap? Are you gonna go to the state capitol, Luca? What are you gonna do? Love it. Okay, so programming stuff. I'm gonna hold our secondary live show less than a minute after Josh and I head out from here. How do you join that show? I'll post a link. You will click that link. You will join the show. You will say your piece, and we will let everyone revel in this win as much as we can. Josh and I did not next to, we did zero standings talk. If you want to talk about how the Mavericks are going to win the West, even though that's not numerically possible, fine, let's do it. If you wanted to, you know, talk about a particular play, if you want to, you know, yell about Shaquille O'Neal being a top tier hater on TNT tonight, we can do all of that and more. It's a little after midnight. I'm going to stay up late. Got at least another hour in me. Thank you so much, Josh, for joining us. Everybody that is here in the chat, we will be right back when Josh or when I join to do Mavs party. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for hanging out. We will be right back.